We thank you for the privilege of gathering together with you around the Word of God. He is so good to us to allow us to have these times, and I trust that you will be blessed by them. Let me get this out of the way first. I had another biopsy on my nose this past week. I had one more cancer to show up. I've been plagued with skin cancers all my life, and hopefully maybe this will do it. But I apologize to you, but we're moving along. We'll find out what the biopsy says when the reports come back. But thank you for putting up with what you have to look at. But I trust that God will help us to hear him and see the Lord by the Spirit of his revelation to us. We invite you to turn in your Bible to the first chapter of the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, we'll begin reading with verse number 9. And we want to speak to you out of verse number 11, write in a book. Write in a book. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. Again, it is not the book of the Revelations. It is the book of the Revelation. That's what it says. That's the inspired word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's only one Jesus Christ, so there's only one revelation. So anyhow, we look at Revelation chapter number 1 and begin reading with verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle, that is the island, that is called Patmos. Why were you there, John? For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He understood that the reason that he was isolated, it was for the kingdom of God. It was for God to manifest to him this word that we would not have had if God had not got him alone and put him in a place to where he uninterruptedly would have been able to receive these visions and to write them down. Now, I don't know about you, but I think our Bibles are just miracles of God. You say, well, I can buy a Bible anywhere. Right. But let me ask you this. If you wanted to buy a letter that was written, say, by George Washington, could you do it? You say, well, I'm sure that if there were any left behind, somebody's already grabbed them up and probably would have paid thousands of dollars for them. Right. That's my point. But here you have the writings of the prophets of God, men of God, 66 books from all kinds of different writers, from all kinds of different lifestyles. And let me ask you this. If you were to go up in your attic and find a letter that was written by your great-grandfather to your grandfather, wouldn't you think it would be great? Well, what condition would it be in? Well, as you say, it'd be dried out. And the squirrels could have got in your attic or maybe some mice or something and have eat on it and tore it up. Then how in the world did we come to have this writing from the Apostle John written 2,000 years ago with no computers? What kind of stationery did he have? I don't know. How did he write on that island? Some people say, well, he lived in a cave. Well, okay, where was the pen and ink? How in the world did you come down and I come down to have this precious book laid before us that we just take for granted? And so we are so thankful that God Almighty himself has determined that he would take it in his own hand, by his own power, to preserve these writings and see that they got all the way down here to the end of the age and fell into our hands. God is so good. Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, God didn't just send him a nice little invitation and say, John, I want you to catch a plane and go over here to Patmos, and I got a motel room reserved for it. I want you to do some writing for it. This was John getting thrown out of Israel. This was persecution. God moved this thing to be like this by John being persecuted for what he believed and what he preached. So here it is. I am here for your brother and companion in tribulation. Now, verse 10, very important. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, we know that trumpets don't talk. They're inanimate objects. But he's talking about the voice of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the Word of God. He is also God the Word. So his voice was piercing. It was an attention-grabbing voice. It was an effectual voice. It went into not just the ears of John, but into his very soul. He said, I was in the Spirit and heard. So we also need to ask God to help us to be in the Spirit to hear these words, that God might bring them to us, saying, what did the voice like a trumpet say? I am Alpha and Omega. Of course, you know that means the beginning and the end. Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last. So Jesus Christ is every vehicle of expression that is necessary to manifest himself to us, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. His was the first voice. His is the last voice. There will be nothing that is said or done or prophesied except the Lord Jesus Christ manifest it first, and it will come true in the very last. Now, let me get a little bit of water. We're looking at Revelation 1:11. Revelation 1:11. The voice said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. All right, after he says who he is, then he tells John what he wants him to do. And our lesson comes from this phrase, what thou seest, write in a book. That's what we want to look at. Write in a book and send it. We're going to see some passages in the book of Daniel where he tells Daniel to write it, but seal it. Don't send it out. But here in this particular instance, in this New Testament, in the New Covenant, in the days of the new working of the Holy Spirit, not just in national Israel, but in the spiritual church of the living God, he says, send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book. And he says, and send it to the seven churches in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now, what thou seest, write in a book. Now, the next verse, verse 12, tells you what he wanted to see. He said, and I turned to see the voice. Now, that make you stop and think a little bit. Made me scratch my head and say, wait a minute. You don't turn to see a voice. You turn to hear a voice. But he's telling him what you see, write in a book. So his eyes then are filled with that which we need to see ourselves. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ manifesting himself to us and revealing the person of God to us. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is the manifestation of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is very God of very God. So all that thou seest, write in a book. First thing he saw was the voice. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. King James says candlesticks. Same thing, lampstands. And what, and of course, we find out in verse number 20 that the lampstands are the churches. So in the middle of these seven churches, there is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he comes to manifest himself, to these churches. That's where he wants the letter sent, to the churches, not to the world. Now, they're to go into all the world and preach. They are to enunciate, to speak, to preach the word of God. But the letters are to be sent exclusively to the churches. And Christ is in the midst of them. Thank God that we have not just come to religious denominationalism. We have not just come to religious practice, but we have come to Christ. We have come to the church of the firstborn, the spiritual organism of the church. He says, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, speaking of Christ, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And it goes on to describe him in spiritual revelation. God tells us from the very beginning at the second book in the Bible, don't make any images of God. Get rid of those pictures of Jesus. They are unauthorized. God refuses us to have them. God says, don't do that. You're not to form pictures in your mind. You're to have Christ presented to your heart. You are to have the Holy Spirit present Christ to you. And Peter says, whom having not seen, we love. And that's the truth. How can you love somebody that you've not seen? Because the Holy Spirit has presented him to me. For the Holy Spirit is very God, just like the Son and the Father. So this thing is entirely different. But here we come to have the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, wherever he was. I don't know if he was in a cave. I don't know if he wasn't. I don't know what kind of writing implement he had. I don't know if he had a desk. I don't know how in the world these pages that he wrote got preserved in order that here I am in the year 2022 reading what John wrote in that situation. The only way I know that it came to us is because God willed it so. This book is a miracle of God. For us to have it is a miracle of God. And I want you to understand and know that I don't just think that the Bible contains the Word of God. I think the Bible is the Word of God. In fact, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servant. That's what it says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 8. He says to Isaiah, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. The reason that he wanted things to start being pinned down is for the preservation of the revelation of God. Now, you say, well, it's just like you were talking about, Brother Preacher, if I find a letter in my attic that my great-granddaddy wrote, it may not be in good condition. And there's probably a lot of things that were sent down or pinned down in time that didn't make it on down to other generations. But God has determined that this will make it down. And here I am reading the prophet Isaiah here in our day and age, and we just think it's just nothing. But friend, it is something. God would have Isaiah. Do you know who Isaiah was? Have you ever met him? Do you have any idea and understanding of what his life was like? No. But what have you got from him? I've got that which God told him to do. Write this. Now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Why? That it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Now, if you will, go with me to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 8. The book of Daniel, chapter number 8, and verse number 26. Daniel 8, 26. And the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. That which I told you to write, Daniel, shut it up. But that which I told John to write, send it out. It is very interesting to see what God has for us in his writings. For us to be able to read the writings of Daniel, it is a glorious privilege. Turn on over to Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, Daniel 12, 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So we see Daniel is told to seal it up. Isaiah is told to write it for the time to come. Daniel is said to seal it up. But look again, if you will. I should have looked at this while we were back there in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 16. And I want you to understand something, and you may not agree with what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to tell you anyhow, and I can stand on the Word of God, and it is true that the Bible was written for Christians. The Bible was not written for the worldlings. They don't understand what they read. How can I, the eunuch said, except some man show me? And Philip got into the chariot and preached unto him Jesus. And the man saw what God was saying in his book. But dear soul, that writing was given to this man who was one of the elect of God that he should see it. You ought to be thankful that you can understand and perceive the things of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 16. Bind up the testimony, seal the law, where? Among my disciples. Isn't that something? Seal it up among my disciples. Dear soul, you read this book without the Holy Spirit, without being born again, you will come to an acknowledgement of some kind of organized denominationalism. You will take this thing in the wrong, I'm going to say spirit. Because these words, my words are spirit and they are life. That's what Jesus said in John 6. I believe it's verse 63. If they are not life to you, it's because they're not spiritual to you. But if they are given to you by the Holy Spirit, then they are life to you. My words are spirit and they are life. Look at Isaiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned. Man's got some smarts. Man's got some education. The man's been to school. He's learned. All right, give him the Bible. And what happens? Saying, read this, I pray thee. What's the answer? And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. This old, you can't just get the Bible and jerk out of it what you want and start your own kind of denomination or your own kind of religion. It's sealed up except to those who have a heart to be able to perceive and understand the purposes of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not my book. It's God's word. It's the word that God gave unto us. And I am not authorized to tell you what the Baptists believe or the Methodists believe or whoever. I'm authorized to tell you what God said and what he purposed in it. Well, to know that, I got to be born again. I got to be called of the Spirit of God into grace and be regenerated, born again. But also, I have got to be born of the Holy Spirit as far as the ministry is concerned. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So he calls us unto himself, and to us he opens up our understanding. Look at Luke chapter 24, the book of Luke, chapter 24. Jesus comes and appears to them in the upper room. And after he has disappeared from the two on the road to Emmaus, and he opens up to them the scriptures, he says, O fools and slow of heart, Luke 24:25. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Now, if you don't know what the prophets have spoken, you're slow of heart. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? Those are the two aspects of the entire gospel. Jesus' cross and his crown. That's it. Everything is contained under those two categories. Listen at verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, beginning at Moses, the book of Genesis, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. So beginning in Moses' writings is what he's talking about. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. Oh my goodness, the Lord Jesus Christ was their preacher. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Isn't that good? And then it says in verse number 32, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he did what? Opened unto us the scriptures. God has to open the scriptures for you, and it cannot be done except through Jesus Christ, because he is the full content of the scriptures. It is not about anything else. It's not about baptism. It's not about the rapture. It's not about church attendance. It's about Jesus Christ. All those other things are included in it, but you must see them in the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ. So, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Christ had to open it to them. Now, jump on down to verse number 44, where he appears to them in the room, the upper room. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. This is what happened while I was preaching to you while I was on the earth. You understand this now, while he's saying this, this now is after his death, burial, and resurrection. This is after his resurrection, before his ascension, in those 40 days that he was still on earth. He says, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Everything in the law of Moses, everything in the Psalms, everything in the prophets concerned him. And by the way, dear friend, that was all the Bible they had. You sitting there with the 66 books of the Bible, with all the books of the New Testament, they didn't have that. Their Bible started with Genesis and ended with Malachi, period. That was it. And he said, everything that you have in that Bible concerns me. And he listed them, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Now, in verse number 32, we found that he opened unto us the scriptures. But look at verse number 45. Then opened he their understanding. He opened the scriptures to the two on the road to Emmaus. But now when he's in the upper room with all the disciples, he opens their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written. You can't go beyond what God has had written down. Thus it is written. Anybody that says anything extra biblical is not of God. You need to throw it out. Everything we need to know about God and the gospel that is included in his crucifixion and his glorification. Ought Christ not to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Yes, that's it. That's the whole of it. And he says, then opened he on the scriptures that they might understand the scriptures. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and then that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1, which God gave unto him to show unto his apostles, the apostle John, by his angels. And what did he tell John to do with it? Write it down. Told Isaiah to write it down. Daniel wrote it down. What did he tell them to do? Seal it up. But what did he tell John to do? Write it down and send it. Dear soul, we don't realize what a precious thing it is to have a called man of God led by the Holy Spirit to preach to us the things of this Bible that is now not sealed up. I turned to see the voice, and what did I see? Not what did I see, who did I see? And I saw one like the Son of Man standing among the seven golden candlesticks. God will use the church, not just the organization of religion, but the organism of revelation. That's the church. It's a living organism. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, whom you have of God. You're a living organism. That's the temple of God. Not a building, but a body. So the Lord is revealing these things to us, and he opens unto us our understanding. That is, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ. So you are being brought to understand and see and perceive the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it's all about. 1 John chapter 2. The book of 1 John chapter 2. And we've gone over these things before, but the Bible said the scribe, the New Testament scribe, the scribe of the kingdom, brings out of his treasures things old and new. So here it is. You've already heard it before. Well, here you got to hear it again. God would have us understand and perceive and to know. Now listen, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 20, he says, but ye have an unction, and you know what I've told you about the unction. It's an anointing. It's the Holy Spirit. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. How do we understand that? Well, on the way over here, I passed a house with a big old red hen out in the yard, and the woman claims to be somebody that can tell you the future. I can read you your future out of whatever her tarot cards or whatever they are. But that's not what it's talking about. You know all things. That is, when a man of God comes to open up the scriptures of God and to preach to them by the Holy Spirit of God, you know that that's the truth. It's not saying you know all things. Well, I know what's going to happen tomorrow. That's not what he's talking about. That wasn't what he was talking about in the book of the Revelation. Well, I will show you things to come. He wasn't talking about who's going to win the lottery and what horse is going to win the Kentucky Derby or, you know, whether you should get a raise or not. It's talking about the Holy Spirit moves on the peoples of God and reveals the person of Christ to them so that when they hear Christ being preached, which is the result of giving the scriptures, all these scriptures are given by God. So go into all the world and preach the gospel. The preaching comes from the revelation of God. And when that brother is preaching by the Holy Spirit and by the call of God, the things of the Lord, you know that it's the Lord and it's true. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Another will they not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. When God saves you, as the old brother used to say, he put the schoolhouse, the school book, and the school teacher on the inside of you. You say, well, I don't know all things. I'm learning things about Christ and about the Bible, and I'm learning how to find the books of the Bible, and I'm learning how to pronounce some of these names. Yeah, I understand. You are training your brain. But the reason that you can train your brain in a proper way and understand and say amen to that which the Holy Spirit shows you as you read your Bible, or you can say amen and put your hand to the preacher that's preaching to you the Word of God, is because you have that anointing and you know these things. Let me read you something. Read on down. He says, verse number 27. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing, that is the unction, same word in verse number 20, the word unction in 20 is the word anointing in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. It's never going to leave you. You can't lose it. You say, well, I can't find my glasses. Okay. I can't find my driver's license. I can't find where I put this. But you can't lose this. This anointing that you have from God abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now, wait a minute. You say, what are you doing, Pastor? Then aren't you teaching us? I'm not teaching you the truth. It is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. I am teaching you the confirmation of the truth, and you realize what that brother is saying is right. It is extending, it is broadening, it is widening my concept of God. But it's not anything new that he's teaching me. It's that he's bringing me to understand what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And I know that it's right and that it's true. But as the anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. That's what the book says. Now, we skipped over a verse. Let's go back to 1 John 2 and verse 20. This knocked my socks off, as it were. We use that saying, when I first read this verse. And I want you to understand what John knows and what John is saying to you. If you have a teacher, a religious teacher, who's looking down at his nose at you, sorry about the reference to the nose. And it's acting like, well, you're ignorant and dumb and I'm the one that's teaching you. You need to get away from him. Listen what the Apostle John said, who laid on Jesus' breast and who received the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And the Lord Jesus Christ actually came back to John after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. He met with John and dictated to him this book by the Holy Spirit. Now, how does John understand his relationship to you in his writing this book? Let me reread you verse 20, 1 John 2:20. But ye have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You know whether it's true or not when you hear it. Now, verse 21. John, What do you understand about your teaching us? I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Let me give you a second or two to think about that. John is saying, I'm not writing unto you to inform you, to instruct you. I'm writing unto you to confirm what you already know, because the Holy Spirit is in you. And the book says they shall all be taught of God. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit shall teach you all things. Listen. And he says, I'm not writing unto you because you don't know it. Well, you went and took that course in whatever it was. You say, I want to know more about that. And, you know, it was something you wanted to know. How to cook, maybe. How to make a dress. Use this lawnmower you just bought that you don't know how to use it. And you go and they say, we'll give you a course in it. Come and we'll teach you how to do it. That's not like this. This is already in you. And John is saying to you, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. Remember now, this is not truths, plural. It's the truth, singular. And John 14:6 records Jesus is saying, I am the truth. So if you have Christ, he is the truth. And you have him, you know all things. But the preachers, the writings, the prophets, the teachers, the apostles are to call these things to your remembrance, and they don't do it because you don't know the truth. It's because you do know the truth when you hear it, and because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And Jesus said, listen, he said to his apostles, and this is amazing, he that heareth you heareth me. I used to really get depressed sometimes when I would think, these people are not hearing a word I'm saying. And I needed to go to the Lord and say, wait a minute, it's not my word. They're not rejecting me. If they don't receive it, they're not receiving it from Christ. If they do receive it, it's not because I had any expertise. It's not because I knew how to convey it. It's because it was conveyed by God the Holy Ghost. And we need to understand that. Yes, I'm thankful to be in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful to be in the kingdom of the Lord. I'm thankful to be able to extend the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts and minds of his people. But I'm not extending the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart and mind as by my own efforts or ability. I am just confirming what you already know. For 1 John 5 and 21 says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth. You can bring a newborn child of God into the assembly. Maybe they've been born again and saved and justified 1 week. And set them down by one that's been born again for 25 years. And guess what? That newborn child of God is going to receive and understand and perceive the word of God and know that it's the truth. And he's not going to be lacking from that which the one that's been saved 25 years is. Now, the one saved 25 years, he may have a greater accumulation of information, but he doesn't have any more discernment of revelation than what the newborn child of God has. Jesus said, what is it, Matthew 11, I believe it is. I'm not going to try to look it up because I won't be able to find it and I'll waste your time. Okay, Matthew chapter 11, I think it is. John the Baptist, at that time, was the greatest man born of woman. Well, stop and think about that now. Elijah was a great man born of woman. Moses was a great man born of woman. He walked and talked with God face to face. And not by similitudes and not by visions. And so he walked and talked with God face to face. That's pretty stout right there. That's amazing. But the Lord Jesus said, John the Baptist is the greatest man born of woman on that earth. And he was being humbled because he was the greatest man born of a woman. But anyhow, he said, John the Baptist is the greatest man born of woman. But that's not what that's not all that he said. Comma. But he that is the least in the kingdom is greater than he. Wait a minute. What does that mean? John was born of woman. But that newborn child of God is born of the Spirit. John 3:8. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the child of God that's born of the Holy Ghost is greater than what John the Baptist was in the days of his ministry prior to the coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. Up to that point, I don't care who they were, Isaiah, Elijah, Joseph, you know, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, all of those guys, brilliant, glorious men of God, but John the Baptist was greater than all of them because he could look at a man walking down the shores of Galilee and say, that is Creator God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He could point at a human being whose brothers and sisters we know and say, that is the Creator that created us all. He is very God. He is the Lamb of God to take away all of our sins. That is a great revelation. It's greater than any revelation that had been had up to that point. He was the greatest man at that time, born of woman. But one little old born-again child of God, born of the Holy Spirit after the coming of Pentecost and after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, after Jesus had said, it is finished, and the Father was satisfied, and the sin was atoned for. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Glory to God. And that little newborn child of God in the new kingdom, in the Spirit of God, he is greater than John the Baptist could be in all of his earthly attainment. Isn't that something? So John said, I don't make any mistake about it. I know that I'm not writing unto you because you're dummies and you don't know anything. I'm writing unto you because you do know the truth and because you will receive my writings as the truth because you have an unction, an anointing with the Holy One, and you know all these things. Dear soul, you can go down to the Baptist bookstore, if there still is such a thing, and buy every book they got on the book of the Revelation. I feel sorry for you because you're going to be in a mess when you read all that mess. I had to throw all that junk out, get on my face before God and cry out to God and say, help me see this thing. I've got an unction with the Holy Spirit. And listen, I know there were great men in the kingdom of God that preceded us. There was great men, Charles Spurgeon, John Whitfield, some of these great, great men of God. But dear soul, they don't have anything on us. We got the same Holy Spirit that they did. You got the same Holy Spirit that they did. Don't sell yourself short. God has set this thing up to where there are no dummies. When I first got I had a word processor at first, trying to get used to the computer. But when I first got my little old computer, little old 286, little nothing of a computer. I bought a book called DOS for Dummies or whatever it was. But dear friend, listen, you're not a dummy. God has seen to it that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You shall all be taught of God. I write not unto you because you know not the truth, but I write unto you because you know the truth. So write it down and get it to them. What will it do? It will confirm to them that this thing has been done by God the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Do you have an unction with the Holy One to know all things? Well, I can tell when somebody's preaching the truth and when they're not. Bingo. Isn't that good? My sheep hear my voice. Next phrase, and I know them. They hear my voice because I know them. Do you understand what that's saying? I used to think it should say, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. But that's not what he said, and I sure am glad. And I finally came to see the reason that my sheep hear my voice is because he knows us. And he gave unto us an unction, an anointing with the Holy One, and we know all things. And therefore, when we have hearing ears, we have following feet, and they follow me. Do you realize that every born-again child of God, I'm not talking about in affluential America with Bibles all over the place. I'm talking about that little Chinese or that African or whoever they might have been living in yesteryear, maybe living before the time of the guy that invented the printing press. How did they come to know? They have an unction with the Holy One and they know all things. Do you understand and realize that it's just quit thinking about Christianity as being churchanity? Well, we got together and had a big meeting, and boy, we had a big time, and that preacher come in, and he was really a great evangelist, and we really enjoyed that, and that's the way that it is, and that's the way the gospel goes. It ain't all the way it is. The eunuch had a Bible. Well, he didn't have but one book. Well, he must have been a millionaire, because that book of Isaiah that he was reading, it had to be handwritten. Now, if you go buy something that's been handwritten, been handmade, it's going to cost you more than such stuff that just comes off the, you know, off the assembly line. Well, here he was with one book. And he was a brilliant man. Had to be. He was high up in his nation's government. And he had come to Jerusalem. The temple veil had already been torn in two. The priesthood was over with. And he came to at a time when things were destroyed as far as the old economy was concerned. And he was going home disappointed. I didn't find anything like I thought it would be. What's going on? God said, Philip, go down there and join yourself to that particular chariot. I don't want him going home and not knowing what's going on as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned since the day of Pentecost has come. So Philip did. He went and joined himself to that chariot. And he asked the man, he said, do you understand what you're reading? That's a wonderful question. And I can ask you that. Do you understand what you're hearing? Well, is that arrogant? No. It's because that everybody that's born to God of God understands what they're hearing. You have an unction with the Holy One and you know all things. You know it's the truth when you hear it. So the eunuch answered honestly. He said, how can I except some man show me? And you know what Philip did? He was invited to get up in that chariot with that royal governmental authority. And the Bible said he opened his mouth and preached to him Jesus. Now, I'd venture to say that the word Jesus, quote unquote, is not in the book of Isaiah. What you think? But that's all the Bible the man had. Just one book. Not 66 books like you've got, but one book. Handwritten copy of the book of Isaiah. Must have been a massive book. And he was reading over there in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. By his stripes we are healed. And he said, who's this man talking about? Is the prophet speaking of himself, or does he speak of someone else? And Philip opened his mouth and preached to him, Jesus, glory to God. Jesus said that all the scriptures, whether Moses or the psalmist or the prophets, write, it's all about me. So Philip used that and preached to him, quote unquote, me, the Lord Jesus. And you know what that eunuch asked next? You see that water over there? You see that lake? Why don't we stop this chariot, and what doth hinder me from being baptized? Well, you ain't supposed to be baptized unless you're saved, unless you're born again. Well, he didn't go before the deacon board and get questioned and get, you know, approved. Well, we think his salvation is genuine. The eunuch knew his salvation was genuine. Why? Because he had an unction with the Holy One, and he knew that thing. And how did he know that thing? Not because Philip preached to him as if he did not know the truth, but he preached to him as if he knew the truth, and he preached Jesus out of the book of Isaiah, and God opened his heart. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Thank God for God-called preachers that stay within the ramifications of the truth of God revealed. Don't tell me anything extra-biblical. I don't want it. I will know that that's not right because I have an unction with the Holy One, and I know what the truth is, and I know when it's not being preached. And Philip said, if thou believest that Jesus is the Christ, then you can be baptized. He said, stop the chariot. That's how it works. That's what we're talking about. And that's what he told John on the Isle of Patmos. He told Isaiah, write it in a book. He told Daniel, write it in a book. But he told them to seal it up. It wasn't time yet. But dear soul, the world lay in darkness, but unto us the light has come and sprang up. It has sprung up, and those that sat in darkness have seen a great light, Matthew chapter 4, I think. And from that time, Jesus went forth and began to preach the kingdom of God. Oh, thanks be unto God that the world was under the powers of darkness, the god of this world, Satan himself. But Jesus came to destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And how did he do it? Through death, he destroyed him. And the Lord Jesus Christ came and pushed back that darkness and caused light to appear, and life and light. And we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And you have an unction with the Holy One. I don't care if you find yourself in a hospital room and you can't reach your Bible and there's nobody there to read it to you and you're just laying there and you can't move. Listen, if God the Holy Spirit whispers a verse in your heart and mind and reminds you of a verse and brings to you a truth of God, dear soul, you can have a glorious time of refreshment and enjoyment, the same as that eunuch had, because there was preached unto you Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Dear soul, this thing's of the Lord. It's not of the pulpit or the preachers or the ecumenical movement. It's of God the Holy Ghost. Write it, John. Okay, you told Isaiah to seal it up. You going to tell me that? Nope. You told Daniel to seal it up, for it is yet for the end time. You going to tell me to do that? No, because this is the end time. Send it. Write it and send it to the churches which are in Asia. And I turned to see the voice, and there he stood in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He was like unto the Son of God. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. God is so good. Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter number 2. Would you please make that Habakkuk? I can't read my own notes. Chapter 2. Habakkuk, then Zephaniah and Haggai. You know, it's right there towards the end of the Old Testament. If you get over to Zechariah, you're going too far. Go back some. It's in Nahum, after Nahum, Micah and Nahum. And it's in Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Habakkuk, what are you doing? I will stand upon my watch and will set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I'm going to stand here and hear from God. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. I want him to have it instantly, so that if he's in a hurry and he's going, he can read it while he runs. He can make haste and have it right there with him. Write it upon tables. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Have you waited on the Lord? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You shall mount up into the spirituals, into the heavenlies. You won't just be bound to the earthly religious concept of dead facts and dead procedures and dead orthodoxy, but you shall be taught of God. Dear soul, this thing's of the Lord, or it's not at all. It's not at all if it's not of the Lord. And I'm so glad that the Baptist church got a hold of me 7 years before God did. But when God got a hold of me 7 years later, I knew the difference between churchanity and Christianity. And God has been so good to me. He taught me all these things and made me to understand and see. Now I endeavor to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I'm so thankful that we're able to meet together at your place of listening, and that God has brought this message to us. And I trust that you'll be able to stay around with us and listen at the second message on Write in a Book. May God bless you. And may you learn to take good care of your Bible and thank God for the written scriptures. Amen.